How many love loving the Lord? Amen. God is good. And all the time. You know, when Kenny Large was here, he was talking about how he hears that a lot of churches. Man, I hope all churches say that. Because he truly is good all the time. And he loves us no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening in our lives. Something I wanted to read to you this morning. It says, a man has been in his business for many, many years, and the business is going down the drain. He doesn't know what to do, so he goes to his priest to seek advice. He tells the priest about all of his problems, about what's going on in the business, and he asks the priest, what should he do? The priest says, take a beach chair and a Bible, put them on in your car, drive down to the edge of the ocean, go to the water's edge, take the beach chair out of the car, sit on it, take the Bible, open it up. The wind will rifle the pages for a while, and eventually the Bible will stay open on a particular page. Read the Bible, and it will tell you what to do. So the man does what the priest told him to do. He goes to the water's edge, he opens up the Bible, and the wind rifles the pages. And it finally stays open on a particular page. He looks down, sees what it says to do, and that's what he does. 3 months later, the man and his family come back to the priest. The man is wearing a $1,000 Italian suit. The wife is all decked out with gold and diamonds, and the child is dressed in beautiful silk. The man hands the priest a thick envelope full of money, and he tells him that he wants to donate this money to the church in order to thank the priest for his wonderful advice. The priest recognizes the man and asks him, what advice did the Bible tell you to do that brought you all this great fortune? The man replies, I opened it up and it said chapter 11. Oh my. I thought this was really cute. It said, God created the mule and told him, you will be the mule, working constantly from dusk to dawn, carrying heavy loads on your back. You will eat grass and lack intelligence. You will live 50 years, the mule answered. To live like this for 50 years is too much. Please, give me no more than 20. And God said, and so it shall be. Then God created the dog and told him, you will hold vigilance over the dwellings of man, and you will be the greatest companion. You will eat at his table scraps and live for 25 years. And the dog responded, to live 25 years as a dog is too much. Please, no more than 15. And so it was. God created the monkey and told him, you are monkey. You shall swing from tree to tree, acting like an idiot. You will be funny, and you shall live for 20 years. And the monkey responded, Lord, to live for 20 years as a clown of the world is too much. Please, Lord, give me no more than 10 years. And the Lord said, shall it be. Finally, God created man and told him, you are man, the only rational being that walks the earth. You will use your intelligence to have mastery over the creatures of the world. You will dominate the earth and live for 20 years. And man responded, Lord, to be man for only 20 years is too little. Please, Lord, give me the 30 years the mule refused, the 15 years the dog refused, and the 10 years the monkey rejected. And so it was. God made man to live 20 years as a man, then marry and live 30 years like a mule working and carrying heavy loads on his back. He is to have children and live 15 years as a dog, guarding his house and eating the leftovers after they've emptied the pantry. Then, in his old age too, he shall live 10 years as a monkey, acting like a clown to amuse his grandchildren. There's a lot of truth in that. Oh, about 3 weeks ago, I went down to a conference, and it was a missions conference, and they were presenting projects of things going on around the world and talking a little bit about them. And sometimes we see the news here, and we hear all the different things going on, and we get a little bit discouraged. Maybe you've got family or friends you've been praying for, and you're not seeing anything happening yet. The key here is do not give up. Do not quit. Do not give in. Keep pressing and pressing and pressing, because you know what? God does have a plan, but there's a lot of great things going on around the world. I believe that the statement was made that there's over 29,000 Chinese coming to Christ a day. They've given out 3.2 million China Fire Bibles to pastors in China. They've worked it through 40 missionaries that have gotten in. Now, some of you, I've got a friend that goes to China a lot, and he says, man, when I'm there and I'm in Beijing and the different places, man, the gospel's on TV. Well, there's like 7 or 8 provinces in China, and over half of them is closed to the gospel. So you can be in an area where it's open, but you got to remember, billions of people live there, and there's areas where it's not open. So they're getting these Bibles into these areas. And so it was really encouraging. And one of the big things that we've been hearing for years is there's a 1040 window. And if you look on a map and you look at the longitude and the latitude, you see the 10 degrees and the 40 degrees. That's the 1040 window where it's been so hard to get the gospel in. There's a lot of Muslim countries there. And they were talking a little bit about that. Right in that 1040 window, amongst a lot of these Muslim countries, there's the country of Algeria. And there's a group of people in Algeria that are called the Berber people. And there's 8 million of them, and they do not want to be Muslims, even though they're getting all this pressure and stuff around them. And there's a revival going on amongst the 8 million Berber people. They're coming to know Jesus like crazy in this 1040 window, and it's very exciting to see what God is doing. They talked about the Congo and in Botswana and different places. When I was in Malawi, Africa, 40% of the population, now this was in the early 90s, 40% of the population is HIV positive. In Botswana, 1 out of every 3 people have HIV and are dying. And it talked about they're not getting educated about it. It showed a video of a young man whose wife and children had all died. He didn't know why they died. They died a horrendous death. They died of HIV. So he remarried again. His wife had children. His children died. And then his wife was there with him, and she was dying. And then he was also dying because all along he had HIV and didn't know it. And they're living for the Lord, but it's just sad to see what's going on around the world as far as what's the devastation of AIDS. 10% of the children in Africa, the continent of Africa, will die of HIV. 10% of the children. But, you know, there's over 15,000 or 16,000 people daily coming to know Christ in Africa. And so there are some tremendous revivals taking place around the world. The Philippines. God is using Christians in the Philippines. There's a mighty move of God. And I want to tell you something. There's something about the Filipino people. They have a heart to care. If you want somebody to care for people in nursing homes, to reach out to them, there's no other group in the world like the Filipinos. They love to take care of people. That's their heart. Well, there's a huge revival taking place in the Philippines right now. And there's such a demand for Christian literature and Christian books. I saw a picture of a printing press in the Philippines that is putting out 60,000 Christian books to get into the school a year. But the demand is for 200,000 books. And so there's just a great outpouring that God is doing. And so it's really exciting to see what God is doing around the world. And God told me a long time ago, I want God to do mighty things in America. I want to see it, but we're a very selfish nation. But I want to tell you something. There are nations all over this globe that they are desiring just the simple things of God. And he's pouring it in. So church, you know, we're a part of that, you know, giving and doing that. I mean, right now we're helping to have an Arabic language translated into a certain dialect so that an area of Turkey and different countries can get those China Fire Bibles. You say, well, what's so good about that? These are full gospel study Bibles. They're just not a regular Bible. They're full gospel study. It's like giving them the concordance and all these things, and they put them into the hands of the pastors so that they can train and equip the people. I told you about the story when they gathered some of the pastors, house pastors in China, and there was like 300 of them in a room. And they told them, they got them together, and they said, we've brought you here because we have this Bible that's a full study Bible today. And all of a sudden, one man come running up, and he said he had the book of Acts handwritten. That's all he had as a pastor. And he said to the man, he said, "Can I trade you this for that?" And he didn't realize they were going to give every pastor one of those China Fire Bibles. And he said, "Oh, absolutely." And I saw that he had in his hand the little handwritten book of Acts. That's all he had to teach his people. And when they handed out those 300 pastors the China Fire Bible, for 2 hours, these pastors were on their knees and on their faces before God, weeping and praising God that they had received his word to go back. Now, church, we don't know how blessed we are. We don't know. I mean, we have Bibles laying all over the house. We have Bibles laying all over the office. It's amazing. And these guys are just begging. So I want to encourage you. God is doing mighty things. And my prayer is, God, give America a hunger for you again. Give America a hunger for you again. Well, look at your outline this morning. There was an old show on Let's Make a Deal, and then there's this new one. I don't know. Is it called Let's Make a Deal Too, or No Deal or No Deal, and all this kind of stuff? And Pastor Adam did a little sermon on that, and he had these little silver plastic cases that were where you do that and stuff. But I'm telling you something. I think the problem in America is we want to make a deal with God. We'll come to you, Lord, if you'll do this, or we'll come to you if you do that. So today we're going to look at this and talk a little bit about this. Romans 4:17 actually talks a little bit about Abraham, and we're going to look at Abraham today, but I'm going to go back to that, and I'm actually going to start at verse 16 there and read that to you. Romans 4:16, it says, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him, he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Now, I want you to look at your outline, and I want you to read that with me, as it is written there. Let's read it. "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Now, that last line there, "who gives life," let's read that again. "Who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Wow, God does that. One more time. "Who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." You and I need to just take that scripture in and devour it. We ought to take that scripture and become abrasive to the enemy, you know, and just quote it all the time. The God who gives life to the dead. I mean, he does that, you know, and he, those things that do not exist, they can exist because we're going to believe that they are. So if you're praying for that family member, if you're praying for that spouse, if you're asking, man, take Romans 4:17 and start reading it, "who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." God, he's not walking with you right now, but I believe I see him walking with you. God, I don't see how we're going to make it financially, but God, by faith, I believe and I know that we will make it financially. Call those things into existence. And I believe a lot of times we just like, oh, we kind of poo-poo it, and we're like, oh, we're not going to do that. We're not going to believe that. And I want to tell you something, that is wrong. And the other part of the kingdom of God is this, is that the fact that we think we can do it on our own. All right, God, they're not saved. I'll do your work for you. All right, and we grab them by the ear or by the hair of the head, and we drag them to church and say, all right, you sit right there. In 15.8 seconds, he's going to call you up. You get up there. I want you to drop to your knees. I want you to accept the Lord. Now, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. I was looking. And the part of this, I just had their Exodus 20, which is the Ten Commandments. And I think about the body of Christ, and I think about how we struggle with the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. man, there's adultery being committed in so many different ways throughout the body of Christ. We're selling ourselves out for the things of the world. Thou shalt not steal, but man, we are stealing from God daily. Thou shalt not lie, but man, we're lying to a world. I mean, we claim to be Christians on Sunday morning, but then we go out to the world and we kind of like, are you a Christian? Why would you ask? Well, I just want to know if you're a Christian. Well, why do you want to know? Instead of saying, yes, I'm a born-again believer in Jesus. Matter of fact, you can just call me a freak. It doesn't bother me. I'm a Jesus freak. I'm radical for God. And I'm not going to deny him. I'm not going to back down from serving him. And I believe he's the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. Well, let's look at the story of Abraham. And we're going to start with Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. You know that radio program, Back to Genesis? In my Bible reading right now, I'm in Revelation. I'm in the middle of Revelation. I enjoy Revelation, but honestly, Revelation is not my favorite book, okay? I love Genesis. And I can't wait till I get through Revelation and get back to Genesis because, man, in Genesis, you never know what God's going to do the next day. There's always something crazy going on. And so I love, and some of you are like, well, doesn't that take place in Revelation? Yes, it does. Revelation is God's word. It's a great book. But it's okay if we have favorite books, amen? And I enjoy Genesis, so I can't wait to get back there. Let's look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. Now, you got to remember, they just had the Tower of Babel, and God, you know, dispensed the people all over the world and confused their languages, and so they would be there. And the thing about the Babylonians, it wasn't just that they were making bricks out of mud and straw. Man, they had developed a kiln, and they were putting these bricks in there. They were firing them, and they were building these strong, fortified buildings and stuff. I mean, they were very intelligent. And God has distributed these, confused their languages and distributed these people throughout the earth. But then we hear the story of Abraham, and it says that Abraham had two brothers, and one of his brothers died. Now, we all know that when we lose a family member, that's a very disheartening thing. It's a time of grief. But let's look at verse 11, chapter 11, verse 30 there, and let's read that verse. But it says there that Sarah was barren, and she had no child. Sarah was barren, and she had no child. Everybody say, Sarah was barren. Now, God has not spoken to Abraham yet and told him he was going to be the father of many nations. He's not even told him that yet. But he knows, God knows that Abraham has taken Sarah to be his wife, and God knows she is barren. The first point this morning is this: God starts with barrenness. God starts with barrenness. The woman could not have children. So she comes forth, and after that point, God says to Abraham, "You are going to be the father of many nations." Now, why would God do that? I mean, if I were God and I knew that Abraham was my man, I would bring along Fertile Myrtle. Sorry, Myrtle. I would bring along Fertile Myrtle to him, and I'd say, I'm God, that's your woman. She's beautiful, and she's going to give you all kinds of kids. And Abraham would be going, you're the man, you're the man. But I'm not God. So God allows Abraham to marry a woman that's barren. And then he tells him, you're going to be the father of many nations. Sometimes I wonder why God does some of the things he does in our lives. Some of you, I remember being a kid, being mad at my mom and dad. I don't know if you ever got to that point. And I remember saying to God, why did you give me this mom and this dad? And I remember being with my head in my pillow, really screaming it. I don't like them. You put me in the wrong family, God. You made a mistake. Because I see other families, I think, man, those kids have it made. How come I couldn't get to John's house, who doesn't have a dad, and he gets to do everything he wants? That was my concept of having a good family. Where in my family, I had the hammer, my mom. And she hammered me with everything. I mean, it's so embarrassing being in a church service and having this. She had that certain click about her fingers, and looking over there, and she'd pull that belt out of her purse. She just barely above that pew, but she. And all my friends were like, man, you're dusted. And it didn't bother my mom in the middle of service to come right down there, grab me by the hair of the head, and just say, come on, pull me up, take me downstairs, pull out that belt, and beat the living daylights out of me. And I'm screaming down there. Everybody in the whole church hears me. Oh, please, Mom, don't. You will not. You get around that Jeff and that Larry anymore, I'll get them down here, you know. If that wasn't bad enough, then the pastor, I remember him going, you in my office. And I'm like, I think my mom was watching kids that morning. Whatever. I'm like, thank God she's not up here. And there we go, up to his office. And I thought he was going to beat the living daylights out of us. So I wanted to be in a different family and a different church. Because my mom had me in 50 churches. Because that's how she survived. She was at church about every night. You say, oh, that's an exaggeration. No, it wasn't. I guarantee you, 5 out of the 6 nights we were in a church service, were we not? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, plus Sunday. And we went to 5 or 6 different churches. Because that's how my mom stayed. Kept her insanity. Stay sane. I mean, stay sane. Did keep her insanity. She wasn't insane. She thought she was. She kept sane by doing that. But I'm telling you, it was God. Hear me out. It was God. Because she had parents that were alcoholics and winos. She had a husband that was not serving the Lord, that was living an ungodly life. And then she had these 4 kids that she was trying to raise. And it was by the grace of God that got her through that. So why would God do that? Just because God's got a bigger plan. I didn't know what God was going to do with my life, but he had a bigger plan. I look at all the times I should have been dead. Literally dead. God had a bigger plan. So that's exactly what was going on here with Abraham and Sarah. God wants us to understand he is the source. He's our source. I want to go back to Romans 4:17. Read that with me. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Whenever you feel like your circumstances are so bad or they are beyond any hope, you need to go back to Romans 4:17 and you need to remind yourself that God caused those things that don't even exist into existence. And he gives us hope to believe. I believe in God who gives life to the dead and calls those things into being. The God we serve is capable of all things. But sometimes in our life, not all the time, but sometimes we have to reach a point of barrenness. Well, I'm too poor to do that. I'm too weak to do that. I don't think I can get there. Everything's looking really bad. I want to tell you something. You may be at that point of barrenness because God has something bigger that he's wanting to bring into your life. Because in America, the body of Christ has a big problem. It's called P-R-I-D-E. Pride. And if it all goes so well for us, so quick and everything, we tend to get the big head. I mean, I see it on TV all the time, and I see some of these guys that, you know, I'm not against having a jet. I'm not against those things, but I just had a good friend of mine call me, and they had three tremendous speakers at their church to speak to the Native Americans, the Indians, the pastors. And they brought these three big names in, and the one guy spoke about having a heart after God and trusting God to do things. Another guy spoke, I'm not going to name their names because if I name them, you'd all know them. And he spoke about his $75 million jet that he was going to get and most of his time to Native Americans who have absolutely nothing. He spent most of his time talking about how he was raising this money for this jet. And then the other guy talked about a gospel that my buddy had never heard of. So in staff meeting the next morning, he said, "Guys, I just got a question for you. I heard three different gospels last night, and I think we've confused these men more than we've helped them." And the staff went, "You're absolutely right." We have a God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He wants you and I to be out there displaying his love, displaying his grace, giving comfort to the afflicted, and showing them that God is able to meet them right where they are. The second point, God starts with barrenness, as he did with Sarah. But then he moves, if we're not careful, we settle for less. We settle for less. I heard a saying one time, I think it's a great saying, it's stuck in my mind. Attitude plus aptitude equals altitude. Attitude plus aptitude equals altitude. If you want to continue to go further in the kingdom of God, you got to have an attitude that believes God. And the only way you're going to do that is you have to get in his word and dissect it and take it in, devour it, and all of a sudden, you start believing. Attitude plus aptitude equals altitude. And I guarantee you, spiritually, you'll start walking on a higher plane. And you will believe God. I'm not against, folks, God blessing people. I believe God wants to bless us. I'm not against God. I believe there are men out there preaching the gospel all over the world, and they need a jet because their heart is to do the will of God, and they need to get to places. So I'm all for that. I'm not against. What I'm saying is when those things become more to us than God, we've got a problem. Some of us are allowing things in our life to become more to us than we are God. It's that car. It's that hobby. It's how I get my recognition. It's what I excel at. This is who I am because of what I do. You know that's wrong. You're not who you are because of what you do. Men are always saying, "So what do you do for a living?" "Well, I'm a prison guard at Michigan City." "Oh, okay. That's nice. What do you do?" "Well, I'm a banker, Fifth Third." "Oh, that's nice. Yeah." You are not who you are by what you do, amen? We're in Christ. All new creations. Look at that verse there, Genesis 15, 2 through 4. We settle for less. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing that I go childless? Now, Abraham knew now. Years were going by here. What are you going to give me, knowing that I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Now, Abraham, all of a sudden, is wanting to settle for less, and he's thinking, okay, this cousin or nephew of mine, this must be the one that you're going to use to make me a father of many nations. And God's like, no, 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 no. I told you I would make you a father of many nations. It's going to come out of you. But many times, we're willing to settle for less. Okay, God, I'm lonely. I need a woman. She's got two legs. I'm lonely, God. I need a man. He's got two arms. He's breathing. Thank you, God. I'll take him. We settle for less. You can laugh about it, but I'm telling you, people are doing this all over. I'm going to get on the internet. I'm gonna find an internet mate. We may never see each other, but we're going to talk daily. You know, that might not be a bad mate for some of you. Because you're so hard to live with if they met you in person. No, I'm sorry. But we settle for less. And somebody sets you up with somebody, and you know they don't love the Lord. You know that all of a sudden, you're like, Lord, I'll change them. That's what we do all the time. I'll change them. We think we can do it. There's barrenness there, and all of a sudden we settle for less. That is not what God has for us. God was taking the impossible situation and going to do something great, but Abraham was looking at the impossible situation and said, hey, I'm going to offer a human alternative. We're guilty of doing this every day in our marriage, in our jobs. We don't believe God, and we decide to settle for less. Well, sir, I'm going to have to take your leg off. I'm going to have to amputate your hand. I'm going to take an ear. And I think if I do those three things, you'll be fine. Okay, God, I guess I got to let the doctor do that. Go for it. Sometimes we are so silly. And we don't believe that God can do anything. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I'm going to drill that verse into your head today. Just like I drilled James 4:7 into the kids about resisting temptation, I'm going to drill Romans 4:17. Number three, flesh produces flesh. Wow, man, that's just a new concept. Yeah, very profound, very, wow, mind-boggling. Flesh produces flesh. After we were into this church about a year, I remember I was praying and seeking the Lord, and during that time, God said to me, I wasn't audible, but I felt it in my spirit. He said, Owen, whatever is birthed in the spirit, I will own and make it happen. But whatever you birth in the flesh, you will own in the flesh. And that scared me to death. Because I'm like, oh. Because I've had people come to me, man,
we need to just run off and build a 30,000 square foot facility, and you need to have faith, brother, and just go do that. Whatever. I said, I'm not an idiot. If I go do that, God's going to let me own it, and you'll find me in Logansport freaked out. Because the bills won't be paid and things won't be. I want God to do it in God's timing. And I think sometimes God is slower than me. So I've learned to back down the car and start going at a creep and say, Lord, whatever you want to do. I just want to hear it from you. And then when I know it's God, I do it. I remember when we made an offer on this building. Visiting nurse had gone out of business. This place had sat here for 3 or 4 years. I called Bank One. I found the guy in the East Coast that's over this. His name was, I remember his first name, Bob. Called, talked with him, got a realtor, sent him an offer. They never responded. I thought that was terrible. Didn't even have courtesy to respond to my offer. I thought I was working exactly what God wanted me to work, and a year and a half later, I get a call from Bob. He says, hey, we have that building. We would love for your church to get that building. I'm like, is this Bob such and such? I think his name was Bob Foster. He said, yes, it is. I said, is this the same guy I sent an offer to a year and a half ago? Oh, yes, it is. You didn't even call me back. You didn't even respond to my offer. He's like, well, send me another one. I said, and you will respond. He said, I will respond. I said, okay. But it was not God's timing. And we sent him an offer. They countered. We countered. And before you know it, we got this. But I'll never forget. I had people walk in to this facility and look at it and say, what are you thinking? I said, man, you got to have vision. You got to see what God wants to do. No, I see garbage. I see trash. I see all kinds of work. And you know that this congregation came together, and in about a month's time, this whole downstairs was totally remodeled. Everything was done. And before you know it, and we needed $60,000 in 6 weeks. And God sent above tithe $67,000 in 6 weeks. But when it's God's timing and it's being birthed in the Spirit, God takes care of it. Amen? But flesh produces flesh. And let's look at what happened here. We're walking through Genesis. Genesis 16, verses 2 and 3 there. So Sarah said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Again, you need to just underline that barren mentality. Josh, don't ever get the barren mentality, okay? Because all you do is walk around and you say, Michael, they're going to fire me. It's been good knowing you, but they're going to fire me. It's okay, Michael. Don't cry about my loss of my job. They're going to. But you walk around with a barren attitude, barrenness. Some of you are paranoid. Let's move from barrenness to paranoid. They're out to get me. My husband is cheating on me. My wife, my kids are all doing drugs. Now they're not, and he's not cheating, but you're paranoid. You need deliverance. I can laugh about it, but you need deliverance. Do you realize you are going to push those people right out of your life? Some of you have such inner hurts, you believe everybody's against you, and so since everybody's against you, you are isolating yourself, and you're pushing good people, family members, godly people away from you because of the isolation. Somebody needed that this morning. I don't know who, but hey. Flesh produces flesh. That barrenness mentality. Please go. Now, can you imagine Abraham, man? He's seeking God. I'm going to be the father of many nations. you know, Lord, my wife's barren. You know, we need you to do something here. And Sarah says, go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. Not the voice of the Lord, the voice of his wife. Hey, baby, I love you, but I can't give you kids. Here's my sweet servant, Sarah, or Hagar. Would you just go in and have children through her? Abraham's like, all right, baby. You know, I don't know how I worked it, but it doesn't say there that Abraham said, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm trusting the Lord. So I blame Sarah for the attitude, but I blame Abram for the decision. It takes two, baby. And she offered, but he made a decision. I don't want to tell you, for 4,000 years, there's been conflict going on over there because of that one decision that was made in the flesh. 4,000 years, the Arabs and the Jews have been battling one another. And now they're battling Christians because of that one decision. Do you understand? When flesh produces flesh, there is a long and winding, devastating road. And some of you allow the enemy to speak things to you, and you start believing them, and then you run around, and you're promoting them, not even realizing you're doing it, and then finally the decision's made, and you're fired. Because you've been telling everybody that you're going to lose your job. You're speaking into existence that. Or, man, I get around people and I hear them say all the time, I was with a brother the other day and I just wanted to slap him. You ever wanted to slap a believer? In love, a holy slap. A holy slap. Because he said, I just know I'm going to die of cancer. What? 50 years old. I just know I'm going to die of cancer. All my family dies of cancer. I just went away. I'm like, when God's done with me at the age of 180, I'm just going in my sleep. Hello. But I'm not going to walk around and say, I'm going to die in cancer. No. But you keep saying that, and all of a sudden, flesh produces flesh. I just know my son's going to amount to nothing. He's a jerk. Man, are you calling your son a jerk? Oh, that little sassy daughter of mine. Someday she's going to get a man that's really going to make her pay. What are you speaking out? Come on, Mom, Dad. Be sensible here. Don't be saying that stuff. You need to be saying, Lord, change her. Lord, give me patience with her. Because, ladies, there's a certain point in a teenager's life, a female teenager, where she thinks she is the woman of the house. And so you have a dad who's looking at his wife, who is the woman of a house, and you have a dad who's looking at the teenager who thinks she's the woman of the house, and what you have is major conflict. And Dad, you got to help her understand you're not mama and you're not my wife and mama reigns over you. And the same thing, even with sons. You have to be careful not to break their spirit, but you have to discipline. Now, here's the point with flesh producing flesh. I did not say that God wouldn't forgive. Amen? I did not say that God wouldn't have grace. Amen? God can still forgive, and God can still have grace. He did that with Abram and Sarah, even though they had Ishmael. But not believing can produce a counterfeit. And with that counterfeit, results that take us farther away from his plan than we ever were intended to go because we chose to buy into the counterfeit. Now, there's the problem. We buy the counterfeits, and then God's will is right here, and we're way over on this road over here. And we're like, I'm so miserable because we chose the counterfeit, which pushed us farther away from God's plan. Sarah offers Hagar. She conceives and brings forth Ishmael. And when Ishmael is about 13, he is a little tear. And all of a sudden, this seed of anger and bitterness rises up in Sarah over this decision. Can you imagine it, men? I can imagine it. Why did you ever go into that tent with her? Oh, what you've done to me. And Abram's like, huh? Was that not your idea? Oh, it's amazing how we rewrite history. And I want to tell you something, men. Women never forget. They never forget. We forget easy. They never forget. On Tuesday at 6 p.m. in 1963, the month was June. It was 83 degrees that evening. You. I did. Come on. Maybe not to that extent, but I'm telling you. It's easy to birth an Ishmael. And in our society today, where we live on such a fast-paced track, we'll take Ishmaels real quick. God's saying to you, he's saying, okay, I've got this job for you, and all of a sudden, you've gone out, God's got a job for me. Hallelujah, you applied everywhere, and you get three offers. Okay, God's got a job. Akabaka soda cracker, akabaka boo, akabaka soda cracker, out goes you. Akabaka soda cracker, boo, akabaka soda. Thank you, Lord, for this job. And we decide to settle for Ishmael. And you know what? It may not have been any of those three. God may have said, that's not my timing. Oh, we do it with, okay, I've got three guys I really like. Okay, he's got brown eyes. Oh, but he's got blonde hair. Oh, but he has got the body. Okay, akabaka soda cracker, akabaka boo. You know, now you laugh at that, but I'm telling you, that's what our world is doing out there. And we're settling for Ishmaels instead of saying, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, I don't want to produce this in the flesh because I got to live with this. I want what your spirit wants, and I want confirmation in your word. What a keen idea. Confirmation in God's word. I had a brother talking to me the other day, and he was telling me, he said, I just make all these business decisions. And you know, I've been lucky, but I really don't think I ever hear from God. He goes, I'm a little bit worried because we're getting in a lot of debt. And he's like, how do you hear from God? And I'm like, thank God he's starting to sense that he needs it. You know, and sometimes God uses the body, amen? Couple of witnesses. Sometimes we need to hear. Well, honey, we're only in. I love that commercial where the guy has the pool. He's got the lawn tractor. He's part of the country club. And he's his family, they present it there. And he's like, these things are all mine, and I'm in debt up to my eyes or elbows or whatever it is. I'm like, that is America. And what he's saying is, I'm not really happy. I've done all this. You know what? It's never too late for God. You may be over there because you birthed it in the flesh, but I'm telling you, you can turn your eyes away from what you want and get your eyes faced on and focused on the Lord, and he can bring you back. Now, his timing Because I don't know how far off you got. His timing may be longer than you want, but don't settle for another Ishmael. Don't settle for less. Keep your eyes focused on him and hear from him and go at his speed. Somebody's here this morning and you're about to settle for less and you're about to birth an Ishmael. Maybe it's a relationship you're in. God brought you here this morning so that you would not settle for less. It's a job. It's a relationship. It's starting something premature. Taking something that's not God's best for you, but you're going to go ahead and do it because you just feel like you deserve it. God's saying, don't do it. It's not my best. Be careful. We need to understand that delivering ourselves is impossible. That we cannot deliver ourselves. So we must put a trust and a confidence in God without wavering, knowing that he is able. We need to trust in the one who has promises that he's given us in his word and believe his promises. Number four. Ishmael will bring years of conflict and pain. I have written in my notes here, Ishmael can bring a temporary satisfaction, but it will also bring years of conflict and pain. I'm sure Sarah and Abram were excited when that boy came forth. They're thinking, this is it. They're feeling pretty good. But a few years went by, and all of a sudden, they realized this was not what God had for us. You know, I wish I could speak to the hearts of teenagers because we are just flippantly running and marrying and dating ungodly people. And you could save yourself all kinds of heartache if you just really start praying and seeking God and allow him to open up doors. Because what happens is you get married and all of a sudden you start compromising. Okay, I'll do this. Okay, I'll do that. And then you have children, and your children see where you've compromised, and all of a sudden you realize, I can't do this anymore because I know it's wrong, and the kids are going to see this. And then what happens is there's a war in your house because you chose the Ishmael way instead of seeing God's best. And you settle for less, and all of a sudden there's a war going on. God doesn't want that to happen. Believers should only date believers. They should marry only believers. Our dependence on ourselves and doing what we want is nothing more than pride and rebellion. Adam and Eve had something better waiting for them, but their desire over the fruit took hold and they gave in to the flesh, and look what it cost them. We have no concept what it could have been like if Adam and Eve had not eaten the fruit. We have no concept. I mean, some of you women are going to slap Eve when you get to heaven. Some guys are going to give Adam a loving bear hug. Not really. But you understand what I'm trying to say. There were mistakes made. The last point is this. God's timing, his divine timing, is fine. His divine timing is fine, or God's timing is divine. You could say it that way. Genesis 21:2, for Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. And at the set time of which God had spoken to him. There was a set time that God was going to give them a child. Abraham's 83 years old. He's thinking, I'm not going to have any. And then there comes Hagar and all this stuff, you know. But God had a set and appointed time. There is an appointed time in your life. I'm telling you, believe God for that and trust him in his time. It'll be the best thing for you. Some of you can't stand being indoors, this cold weather. Do you know this cold weather like that is bringing some people into depression? They're outside people. They can't get out. They're struggling. And all of a sudden, they're about to birth an Ishmael because it's not God's best, but because they're listening to their flesh. And the devil's throwing all kinds of temptations. They're like, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to do it anymore. And it's nothing more than an Ishmael. Folks, springtime's coming. There's going to be a harvest this summer. The leaves are going to fall in the fall. You got to realize, you know, just keep having hope. God's timing is divine. Isaac was born at the appointed time. Quit listening to the lies of the devil or your flesh or the soulish you. God is never late. He may seem like he's slow, but he is never late. When it comes, he gets the glory because we remain humble. That's what we need to understand. When it finally comes, God gets the glory for Isaac because there's no way Abraham and Sarah could have done it on their own. They were too old. When God opens the door, nobody can shut it. But you have a choice if you're going to be obedient and wait for that door and then walk through it. That's the key. Stand with me this morning. I want you to read on your outline one more time for me. Romans 4:17, the last part, starting with God there. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Romans 4:20 says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. We need to continue to believe. Your vision is bigger than what you're seeing. That's okay. Continue to believe God. You see that God's got a godly person for you. God's got the right job. God's got the right opportunity for your education. Some of you are battling direction in your life. God will open the doors for you, and you'll know it. He'll confirm it through his word. Why don't we wait and believe God's word and trust his word? Bow your head with me this morning. How do we glorify God? We don't waver. We don't settle for less. We don't birth an Ishmael. We don't allow our flesh to produce flesh. We become spirit people, being led by the Spirit of God. This is just a simple message. We cannot walk around saying, God, let's make a deal. We need to walk around and say, God, all things are possible. I want your best for me. I want your best for me. I was having lunch with a man this week, and he told me one of the things that his father taught him growing up was, he said his father always heard from his parents that after you get into college and possibly after you graduate, you're going to meet your spouse. And his father told him that every day, son, after you get into college and possibly after you graduate, you're going to meet your spouse. And he said, you know, Owen, what it did for me is it relieved this pressure of high school, of having to date and try to find it. I just knew in my heart, in God's timing, later on, I was going to find the one that God had for me. So I enjoyed my friends and I enjoyed a few dances and different things, but I never got real serious because I knew God was going to do it down the road. He said, I'm telling my kids the same thing. God's timing is divine. An Ishmael can bring a temporary satisfaction, but it will also bring years of conflict and pain. With heads bowed this morning, eyes closed, you hear and you say, you know, Owen, I've been trying to deal with God. Maybe the first thing you've been trying to deal with is your salvation. God, I'll come to you if you'll do this or do that. That's not, we don't come making a deal with God. We come saying, God, I'm going to surrender all that I am so that you can make me who you want me to be. It's no longer about me and about self. It's about you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you'd like to accept him this morning, would you lift your hand up? I want to pray for you. I don't know Christ, but I'd like to accept him. I see those hands. Yes, two hands going up. You can put them back down. Anybody else? I don't know Christ, but I want to accept him. Anybody else? I want everybody to say this prayer. If you lifted your hand, you say this prayer. And I believe that these hands that went up, they're rededicating their lives this morning because I know that God's doing a work in their life. But I want everybody to pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I'm coming to you in need of a Savior who will forgive me and love me unconditionally. I accept your forgiveness. I'm going to change. And I want you to be Lord of my life. Give me a desire to know you, to hunger for your word, and to hang with Christians. Develop my life, Jesus. I give you all of me. Amen. Now you're here this morning and you say, you know, I've been trying to do it on my own. Maybe I've birthed an Ishmael. Maybe I've settled for less. I don't know what the circumstances are, but with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you've just been trying to deal with God and you realize now, Lord, I just want your best for me. I just want your best for me. Maybe you're in the middle of that Ishmael, and man, it's painful. There's a lot of rage going on inside of you and around you, and it's not fun. I'm not making light of it at all. But I want to tell you something. There is a God who loves you. There is a God who can take, he can give life to the dead and call those things which do not exist, call them forth as though they did. Maybe you just feel like you're dead in all the decisions you made. I want to tell you something. God can change where you are this morning. His word is true, and he loves you with amazing grace. If that's you this morning, would you just lift your hand and say, man, I need prayer. That is me. Just lift it up and take it back down. Hands going up. Hands going up everywhere. I need prayer. That is me. That is me. Anybody else say, man, that's me. I've been doing this stuff on my own, or I've been making these decisions, and I need a miracle from God. I'm going to give him the reins. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want everybody to say this with me. You've lifted your hand. You know, the Holy Spirit's just saying, this is what I wanted in your life all along, for you to reach a point to say, no longer me, it's all about you, God. I've been a woman of woman or a man of man's, of men, and I've been trying to make this thing happen, and God's saying, you got to stop. You're pushing yourself further away from God's divine plan. And it's affecting your family. It's affecting your workplace. It's affecting your attitude. It's destroying your witness. Is there anybody else say, man, I want to be included in that prayer. Don't want to miss you. I want everybody to say this with me. Lord Jesus, I don't want a deal. I'm so sorry for putting me first. My pride, my arrogance, my insecurity led me the wrong way. I own it this morning, and I repent. Now, whatever that is, ask the Lord to forgive you of it right now. You know exactly what it is. You can just say, God, forgive me of this. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of that, Jesus. Forgive me of that. Now, Lord, I ask for restoration, for grace and mercy. However long it takes to undo this stuff, I give you permission to get me on your path, to keep me on your path. Change my priorities. Change my thinking. And I say to you this morning,
I will allow your word to be a lamp unto my feet. I will get in the Bible and allow your word to speak to my heart in these decisions. Thank you, Lord. I receive that right now. Just thank him right now. Just think, Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I receive that right now. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your grace and mercy. And God, I realize it may take time. Sometimes, God, you can do an instant miracle because you're a God of the unbelievable. But God, I'm saying you're going to do it all. I thank you, Jesus. Sing that song with Adam as we go this morning.
I will wait for you.
God bless you. Have a good week in the Lord.
Jesus.